taking a stand, and standing on the stand we take, and not to move from that place, but to always walk forward in faith, believing that He's able to do all things, even those things that is impossible for us. I'm so glad that we're able to be here today and able to see the folks that are here. It's a blessing to me to be able to. And this morning we're sitting in nice cool because of Brother David yesterday. He was so blessed us yesterday to fix our air conditioning unit that was not working too well. Take your Bibles again this morning as we're going through the Beatitudes, as we look at some scripture this morning. I'll do like I normally do. I'll just read the whole Beatitudes. Then I'll go back and we're going to pick up on that one verse that we're going to be focusing on today. So let's stand as we read God's Word, as we honor Him. He has blessed us to be able to hold in our hands the blessed Word of God. And from those pages that testifies of Him, we find hope, help, and life itself. So let's begin reading Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. I will get this right in a minute. Everybody there? Amen. And seeing the multitudes, He went up into the mountain, and when He had set, His disciples came unto Him, and He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are ye when men shall revile you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. I've entitled the message this morning, Mercy Received, the Man's Mercy Extended. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful to you that you have been merciful to us. That you, in the divine choice that you made to redeem mankind unto yourself, made in the image of God, we have fallen short of the glory of God. We have become a people, a generation that loves darkness more than we do light. Lord, I pray this morning as we look at this scripture, as we understand what you've done for us, through your mercy and grace, may we be thankful that we have a God who loves us, a God who has provided for us every single thing that we need. I ask you this morning, Lord, as I bring this message, may you anoint me today by the Holy Ghost of God. And may I speak with boldness that I might share your word in a way that would challenge our hearts. I know that the scripture says that your word will not come back void. So I pray, Lord, that what I speak today would be your word, not my opinion about things, but would be your word. And that it might challenge our hearts, that it might move us to a new place in our Christian walk, that we might, with our lives dedicated to you and purpose in this life to glorify you, that we would serve you and others as well. We pray this morning that you'd open our hearts that we might be receptive, open our eyes that we might see, our ears that we might hear, and Lord, would you grant us, please, that wonderful gift of repentance, that we might stand before you with clean hearts, clean hands, as we glorify you. In Christ's name we pray, amen. You guys can be seated. Blessed are they, are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. What good news, amen. Aren't you glad that God looked down at us and we were in a mess? Long before he even said, let there be light, he knew man would be a mess because he's an all-knowing God. And he looked at the situation that we were getting our own selves in and determined within his own counsel that he loved us enough that he would show mercy to us through grace. Aren't you glad that God has held back that what we really deserve? Now, I believe our nation is going through some things right now that's going to challenge us as believers. I believe God is calling us to revival. I believe God is calling us for a change in our thinking, in a change in our service. I believe God is calling us to some serious business with Him, and that is to glorify Him as we live our lives out in Christ, as He works through us to reach this world with the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I believe that the church is supposed to be doing. So exactly what is this mercy and what does it mean? Well, the word in the Greek is actually eleon, and it means to be compassionate, to have compassion. See, it's different than what having pity is. It's much deeper than that. So in other words, if we're to have compassion on those that are around us, it will move us into a new realm of a service to God. But we have to be serious in our desires and our need. Webster says that it is a compassionate treatment of others. It is being compassionate in a way that it moves us to benevolence, or it moves us to try to change the situation in someone else's life. This thing about mercy is not about us. It's about us showing the mercy that God has shown us in others, that they might see and experience what we have experienced in the spiritual realm, that they can also see it in the spiritual realm, but see it physically in us as well. And God said, blessed are the merciful. He looks forward to that blessedness. He looks for us to have that joy that's full of glory, that every single moment we are rejoicing because He has showed mercy to us, that what we could not do for ourselves, He did it for us. But that word in itself has two different applications. One, of course, of the applications is that we look upon someone who is suffering, someone who is in need, someone who is being mistreated, someone who needs someone to stand in for them. And we look at them and we have pity on them. Pity means we feel sorry for their suffering. Pity just means we can see that there's something happening in their life. But then a second application of this word is deeper than that. It is the word mercy itself, which is that I might now be driven by something that is within me, that not only am I moved with pity and sorrow for that situation of whoever's life it is, and to be moved from an inward desire to help that person change their life or help that person come out of that situation that they're in and find help within the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our focus in every single thing that we do. A merciful person is a person who has a disposition of caring. They don't go about the business of just life for themselves, for their own glory, for their own benefit. They look at others' situation. And what they do, they walk in a way where their tendency or their character is to care about other people. Now, we have to ask ourselves that, because I know how it is. We can actually get very self-centered. We can get so self-focused that we don't see those that are around us. And we can be so tied up in ourselves that we fail to have compassion or pity or mercy on those that are around us, and we really get to the place where we don't care, if we're not careful. It's sort of like things that we get used to. For instance, let's just, something that happens all the time. Whenever there's some kind of political thing or there's some kind of a change in society, you'll notice on TV they will begin to promote that on TV. And they do it in a way that's a little comedy to it. Makes you laugh to begin with. And before long, you notice that you're not so moved by that anymore. Maybe when they first begin it, You just feel that grind in your stomach. But later on, a little while later, 5 months, 6 months, maybe a year, and they start beginning to promote that even greater, we find that it's not so offensive. Why? Because we get used to those things that are around us. And if we're not a person of mercy, if we're not a person that has a compassion to help others, what happens? We begin to be blind to those things that are around us. Sort of like that commercial, you know, where they got those, everybody else smells the socks and not the fresh air that she sprayed in there. That's sort of the way that we are. We get used to the stink and stench that is around us, the hurt, the pain, the suffering that is around us. And we're just so self-centered, we just think about ourselves. See, in these Beatitudes here, it's really that Jesus is trying to teach us how that we should live our lives. He's got those 12 men sitting there at his feet, and he's trying to say, this is the way that our lives should be. This is the way that when someone looks at us, this is what they perceive. And so he's gone through the list of all those things, and it's really a building process. It's building a block on a block on a block on a block until we get to that place where he paints the whole picture of how a Christian's life should be. We should be the most caring, the most merciful, the most helpful people on the face of the earth. That's what a Christian is. Because, see, we are to be like Christ. The Bible says here that those that are poor in spirit, they realize that they've got some spiritual issues. And they need him to intervene on their behalf. They need something changed in life. Do you remember that time whenever you were aware that you were in need of God to do something in your life because there was an emptiness there? You were poor in spirit. And you needed him to come on the scene and do something different that you might be able to experience that fullness of wealth of his presence in your life. See, before he comes in our life, we're empty. And what's strange about this is that we are so empty, we don't even realize that we're empty. It's when we get that full tank of the Spirit of God living within us that we realize our life has been far short of what the possibilities are. And so we have to stop. And we have to reload and regroup or do something so that we might be focused on what God is doing in us by His Spirit. And He's also said, He told us, that, listen, those that mourn, those who cry out to God, those who realize that they need comfort, those are the ones that God moves on. Just as we should look at these people that are in need, and we need to make sure that we're there for them. The meek, he said, shall we inherit there? Well, the meek are those who are powerful in their spirit, but yet willing to take the loss that someone else might benefit for the glory of God. But that's hard to do, isn't it? That's hard to find yourself in that place. But mercy. Jesus said, those that have mercy. Those that are mercy. They're going to be blessed. He's going to give us a divine joy. I tell you, there's something about doing something positive in someone's life. To help them change their situation. To be there for them in whatever happens, that you're there for them. Because, see, really the gospel's place is to be emphasized in our care and not just our tongue. It's not about what we say. It's about what we do. That's the most important thing. Our lives should absolutely be like Jesus. Now, when we think about Jesus, how was he? Oh, he was merciful, full of mercy. I just can't even in my own mind imagine stepping out from the... Now, let's think about this. He steps out from the portals of glory. And the Bible describes the throne of God and all the glory in the throne of God. And those cherubims praising him. The angels on their knees praising him. Those flying around the throne of God saying, "Holy, holy, holy." And he steps out. Takes off the Shekinah glory robe. Steps out into Mary's womb. Why? Because he was merciful. He knew that we needed something that we could not do for ourselves. That's the way it is with others. We should look and help them where they cannot help themselves. We should be willing to do that. See, because the church should be like Christ. We are what they call Christians. They were first called Christian in Antioch. Why? Because they were like Christ. Let me ask you this. Are you walking and living your life in a way that is Christ-like? I know we cannot be as perfect as he was, but our desire should be to be more caring, more loving, more helpful, having more mercy towards other people than we've ever had before, and do it in the name of the Lord. Do it because we know that he should be glorified. Paul said it this way. I am crucified with Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. But yet I live. Oh, I've been put to death in Christ, but I'm living. But it's not me that's living. It's Christ that is within me. And that's the way we should live our lives. In a way where people can look at you and say there's something different about that man's life or that lady's life. And that they know that what that difference is something that they have not experienced. Because they have not experienced the mercy of God being displayed through the grace of God by the salvation of their soul. And the presence of the Holy Spirit in her life. God wants us to be merciful. Matter of fact, he demands us to be merciful. If we have received from him, then we are to give to others. And I'm glad of this right here. I'm glad that his mercy in my life is not based on whether I am merciful to others or not. Although he says be merciful, because we've received mercy, then we should give mercy. We should. But that does not stop him, if we do not show mercy, does not stop him from showing mercy to us. He did that on Calvary's cross. So he wants us to be active. Like Paul said, I'm living, but it's not really me. It's Christ that is driving my life. It is Christ that is motivating my life. It is Christ that I have focus on so that whatever I do might be a benefit. We've got an opportunity right now in our lives to make an impact 100 years from now, 200 years from now, if Christ so tarries. But what are we doing to show and make that impact? If we're not merciful, if we're not willing to show mercy, we're not going to experience those things. And then I would hate to think that I had lived 75, even 100 years, and that everything I had done had no eternal value. And I had not showed the mercy that I should towards other people. That would be a horrible thing. So we have to ask ourselves, are we merciful? Do we show mercy? What are some examples that you have done or I have done that shows mercy towards other people? Well, there's a story in the scriptures here, and we're going to get into that in just a second, but listen to what some things that God said about himself. I like for people to tell me about themselves, don't you? I like for people to tell me about themselves. Not somebody else to tell me about it. I want them to tell me. That way, whatever I know they're saying is coming from a very good source. And it's sort of like, how do we know how God is. Well, we know that by other people that have shared that with us. But the scriptures, he described himself. God described himself to Moses. Moses said, he wanted to know who he was so he could tell the people. And God said, for the Lord thy God is merciful. He's a merciful God, and he will not forsake you. God will not leave us. God said, I am a merciful God. 2 Chronicles 39 says, for the Lord your God is gracious and merciful and will not turn away his face from you if you return unto him. There's no way that we can come to him in repentance. No way that we can come to him hurting. No way that we can come to him and be poor in spirit and mourn for him that he will not love us. He will not forsake us. He will in no way turn us away because he is merciful. And that's what we have to be. Listen, in Hebrews, it says, for I will be merciful unto their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. That's a merciful God. Have you ever had trouble forgetting something somebody's done against you? I can remember things from many years ago. I've got a few years on me now, but I can remember things from way back that people's done that I still remember. But God says, I won't remember that. When we come to him and we ask him to forgive us, just go on about your business because he forgives it and he does not remember it. That's a merciful God. And that's the way he wants us to be towards other people. He wants us to proclaim him as being merciful and to demonstrate that through ourselves by being merciful to others. Caring about them. And I know we do a lot of things here. Well, we used to do a lot of things before the pandemic. We always stayed pretty busy doing things. Of ministry. Michelle was sharing with me the other day that, you know, the ministry of our nursing home ministry that we have done for years. And she's just telling me, they were sharing with me the other day that they can't go in anymore. And so instead of just standing and doing nothing, they make them up some signs and go to a nursing home and hold the signs up. We haven't forgot you. That shows somebody cares. That shows somebody's caring. Whenever we do the extra, when we go that extra mile, when we do something out of the ordinary because we know someone's hurting. Right now, I know you guys know my brother-in-law is in the hospital. He's not doing well at all. Not doing well at all. And my sister cannot be with him. He's there in the hospital by himself. And she can't even go in the room with him. That's where we're at. But all the things that we can do when our hands are tied, when it seems like there's no hope, I'm telling you, God can direct us. He can fill us with the ideas of how to do this thing. What in the world do I do? Jesus was teaching one day, and this lawyer stood up and questioned him. Actually, he was trying to trap him. And he asked him, you know, how do I inherit eternal life? How do I get to this point? And so Jesus said this. You've read the scriptures. Tell me what it says to you that you do. And so he was brilliant, very religious. He quoted to him the most important commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, you have done well on that. Now, take care of your neighbor. Damon Lee Virgin, all right? So this lawyer says, wait a minute. Who is my neighbor? How far do I have to go with this? Are you talking about the ones who live right beside me? Damon Lee Virgin. So Jesus tells them a story about this man who was beaten to the point of almost death. And the religious man come by him, the priest. Instead of walking by him, he knew that if he did, he would be unclean. So he walks on the other side of the highway. Leaves him laying there, probably in a pool of blood. Because the Bible said he had been beaten terribly. Then here comes the Levi, the guy who knew the law. These Levites, they were the lawyers, if you would, the experts in the law of God. And here he comes, and sees him laying there. He stops and looks and says, oh my gracious, I got to get away from this one. So he leaves. Then the Bible says that a Samaritan come by. Now the Samaritans were hated by the Jews. And they didn't like the Jews either. There was an enmity between them. Because the Samaritans were mixed. They were Jews and Gentile mixed. And they hated them. They had set up a place of worship other than Jerusalem. They hated him. And here come this man that you would expect to just laugh and move on his way and say, well, he deserved that. I know he did. That's what he gets. For being where he was at the wrong place at the wrong time. So he gets that. He deserved it. But no, this guy looked at him. Saw him laying in his blood, and he saw him hurting. So the Bible says he went to him with compassion. And he bound him up, and he put oil and wine on his injuries. And he picks him up, and he carries him to an inn and says, here, care for him. And he gave him money and said, if that's not enough money to take care of him, when I come back by, I'll pay whatever it was. And Jesus asked the guy, which one of those men showed mercy? And the lawyer, of course, we know the answer to that. It was the Samaritan. It's the one who was not expected. The religious people just passed by. Religious people have passed by others too much. It's time we stop. It's time we look. It's time we examine what the need is. And to be there for that individual. To help them, even if it takes time and our money, God will bless us if we'll just see the need and try to minister to that individual or whatever the situation is, to try to bring something merciful in their lives. And Jesus said, who was it? And he said, it was the Samaritan that showed mercy. And Jesus said, go and do the same thing. So we have been commanded. It is a commandment of God. I believe it. We've been demanded that if we have received mercy, then we have to show mercy. So are we merciful? Do we see ourselves as merciful? Well, what exactly is it? It's like this lawyer right here. Searching. Trying to find an excuse. See, I think we do too much of that. I'm too busy. I ain't got time for this. And we're all so busy, we're probably all meeting ourselves as we leave in the house. when we're coming home, we're out the door before we can even blink an eye. We go about our business too frantically without observing what's around us. And I guarantee you, all we have to do is just pause. We don't have to really stop. We can just slow down, and we'll see a need. And God will help us meet the need of that person. Where can we meet those needs at? I know we're sort of limited right now on what we can do because of the pandemic. But there are some things we can do. And we have tried to do some of those things during this time to make sure that our people are being ministered to make sure that things are being met, to make sure that we can meet whatever is out there that's needed. So we have to say, am I being tender? Am I being caring? Am I being what God would call being compassionate? Whatever we do, we have to do it in Jesus' name. Me and Edward was talking this morning, and the prison ministry, of course, is on halt. Don't know what's going to happen there. If they ever let go back into the prisons, if they let that happen again. And we were talking about that. There's been months now that there's been no ministry in prisons, in county jails. Hospital ministries are put on hold. But Jesus said, whatever you do in my name, you've done it unto me. Even a cup of water, even a sign being held up, we care. We've not forgot you. A need that is seen is a need to show mercy upon. And what we have to do is we have to collectively get our minds together, because one person don't see the whole show. Only God does that. And we have to look around us and say, what is the need? I realize that there's a lot of... I've had people even today call me and said, we can't go because of the pandemic. We can't be there, but we'll be watching you. We'll be with you on the Facebook. There's ministries that we cannot do like we used to do, but there's something we can do, that we can show mercy, we can show grace, we can show we care about one another. Being merciful, having mercy. So I guess really, above all things, is how do we obtain mercy? You notice the Bible says here, they that are merciful shall obtain mercy. Does not say they deserve mercy. Says they will obtain mercy. Although we do not deserve it, God says, I'm going to give it to you. Jesus said, if you'll just be merciful, here's what you're going to have. You're going to have joy. You're going to have peace. You're going to have some worth. There's nothing like bringing self-worth than doing something positive for someone else. And we are the ones who make that decision. We can do it corporately or we can do it individually. But whatever the case is, we cannot afford to let things go by us and not try to meet that need. What if God looked at us and said, I can't forgive them. I won't forgive them. Wouldn't we be in a mess? But aren't you glad that when he looked at us, as undeserving as we are, he said, I'm going to show mercy through grace, and I'm going to purchase them for my glory so that they might experience mercy and grace. I'm so glad God planted that tree in the middle of the garden so that we can experience His mercy, His love, His tenderness. Christ living in us, we should be able to show mercy to one another. Christ living in us, we should be able to do whatever it is that God has called us to do. If we're not merciful, though, one day we're going to stand before Him and we will give an account of whether we are having mercy and showing mercy or not. So, the big question. Here's the big question right here. Are you being merciful? Do you care about other people? I mean, really care. I can say I care, but unless there's some actions there showing that I care, you don't care. But whenever we actually ask ourselves the question and examine ourselves, and nobody has to really tell us, we know whether we are or not. We don't have to say to somebody, say, well, man, you're very merciful. No, we know ourselves how we feel about other people and their situation. And here's the thing about this merciful thing. It's not something that happens every now and then. It's not a one-time affair. It is because we are walking in the Spirit of God. We've been filled. That hunger's been filled. That spirit need has been filled. That poorness has been filled. That thirst has been filled. And automatically, by Him living in us, we find ourselves being merciful to whoever they might be. And it's not something that just happens once. It's something that happens because now that is my nature, because I have the nature of Christ living in me. How about you? I've had to ask myself those questions. Am I merciful? Do I really care about others? Am I willing to do whatever it takes to meet the needs of others? Is my life the way that I feel about others? Does it offend God? Does it offend other people? If it does, mercy moves us to be compassionate. Mercy moves us to be graceful. And mercy moves us to be thankful for what God has done to us so that we might share that with others in their lives. So this morning, maybe we need to examine ourselves. Well, I know we do. And really be honest with ourselves. Am I merciful to others? And if not, the Bible says if we'll confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. And just in our prayers, just say, Lord, I want to be like Christ. I want to be a merciful person. I want to care about others. I want to be willing to do whatever it takes to change someone in a way that, or help them go through the process of what it is they're in. But Lord, I'm not feeling very merciful. Too many times I feel as though I don't care. And my actions show that I don't care. Lord, help me change that. Give me Christ's heart. Let me love as Christ loves. Let me care like He does. And you know what He'll do? He'll give you the power to be what He wants you to be. And I guarantee you this, He wants us to be merciful. Because if we are merciful, we will be granted mercy as well. It's like grace upon grace. When God gives us more than we deserve because we are serving Him by serving others, showing them mercy and grace. May God bless us as we examine our own hearts. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful that You are able to meet whatever need it is. And we do realize, Lord, that mercy is something that we have certainly experienced as believers. And it's something that we really need to show others. Lord, I pray that you'd take our cold, indifferent hearts. May we grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may those things that cause us to not have mercy on other people, may we be empowered by the Holy Spirit of God to put that things off and to take on the grace of God, take on the mercy of God, the love of God, and to be instruments in your hand so others might benefit from the mercy of God. Lord, we do believe that you are a merciful God. We believe that you looked down and saw that we were sinners and you had mercy on us. Help us, Lord, show mercy, the mercy of the Lord towards other people. I pray there's one here lost and undone today, Lord, that by faith they'd realize that the mercy of God is great and the grace of God is powerful and the Spirit of God is drawing this morning. I pray that you would make a difference in their life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. It's a wonderful thing to experience the grace and mercy of God. But there's nothing greater than the moment that he calls your name. And by faith, he might not holler your name out, but all of a sudden you realize that in your heart, this stuff called faith is revealing itself to you. Maybe this morning he's showed you that he's merciful and that he cares about you. Maybe this morning he showed you that we should be merciful and care about others. Maybe this morning is the time that we do business with God. If you do not know him, if you do not know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, by faith, if you believe in your heart, that's a gift from God. Because repentance is a gift. He gives us that gift of repentance. So this morning, if you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he has died on Calvary's cross for your sin, you believe that, you understand that not by our knowledge, but by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, as he reveals to us Jesus and draws us to him through faith. If that be the case this morning, won't you come? Let me get with you, some other person in here get with you, and share with you about trusting Christ, walking in faith, in mercy with him. Or maybe this morning you're a part of the family, part of the fellowship, and you feel this morning there's areas in your life that God could bless and help you be more merciful, and you'd like to talk with me, I'll be right here as the music plays softly, as we stand on our feet.